Hola, y gracias por volar en la aerolínea Aria de Phil Henry. Estaremos volando a una altitud de 30,000 pies. Oh, y también Spring Heart. El vuelo de esta noche estaremos presentando Diarrhea. Y también debo mencionar Taco Bell Chihuahua.
Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. I got to work and I found out that Walter Payton had passed away. And about the only time we ever talk sports on this show is football. I don't think we've ever spent too much time talking. If I ever talk about any other sport on this show, you know that I'm trying desperately to find something to talk about. I will not. There's nothing I know all that much about baseball, hockey, or basketball for that matter. Although the personalities that surround basketball are kind of interesting. And hockey, what can you say, huh? What's better than looking at a bunch of Manitoba farm boys beating each over the head with a stick? No teeth. People desperately try to like hockey, don't they? They really try to like it, and it's just not it's not happening the way that they'd like it to happen. Although I know a great many people love it, and that's fine. My old man used to drag me out to the L.A. Blade games. This is back in the early 60s when there was no professional, there wasn't any major league team in L.A. We only had a minor league team called the Los Angeles Blades, and they played in the Western Hockey League. And I just remember one guy, Willie O'Ree, because he was the first black guy in the NHL. And Willie played on the L.A. Blades. And, of course, back then, any black guy that exhibited any real athletic skill, you probably don't know this. A lot of you are too young to even consider this or remember it. But there was an attitude at one time. Any black cat that was good on the field of play in athletics was part Indian. He had to have some Indian blood because that's what made him so fast. And he said, hey, Willie O'Ree, it's a hell of a hike. But you know, he's part Indian. See, that's the whole, yeah, he comes from some kind of a damn Indian. I don't know what he is. He ain't all black. He's prairie black. What we call prairie colored around here. I had a comic. Should I say this? It's very crude. I was up in Twin Cities, and I was emceeing comedy shows at this club in Minneapolis. One of the comics there was a Native American comic. I don't know this guy's name. They wouldn't let him play some clubs in North and South Dakota. And I say this with all due respect to the fine people in those states, but apparently he got thrown out of a couple of clubs, and he said that they used to call Indians up there prairie niggers. Now, it's strong. It's very strong. You're right. But he said that to me. I said, geez. I said, well, you know what? Just so happens I won't bring you on stage either because you're... No, I'm kidding. And then I made a little bow and arrow thing, and I was trying to break the ice, and then... And now let's bring out... One of the funniest guys I know. One of the funnest prairie... So anyway, they used to say that about old Willie O'Ree. And then Willie went on to play with the Chicago Blackhawks. But that's, forget about that. What am I trucking to say? Oh, Walter Sweetness Payton passed on today. How old was he? 45, Mike? Young man. And that's a very, very terrible thing. I remember what a great ball player he was. How much, just joy that you get out of watching a great running back like Payton. And Chicago's had a couple of them in the last 35 years. One of them was about a guy by the name of Gale Sayers, who's... knee went out, and that was the end of his career. Gale maybe had, I don't know how many seasons he had, 5 seasons, one of the greats. He had a ball game against the Rams that nobody's ever going to forget. I mean, what did he score, like 5 touchdowns, ran a couple of kickoffs back? Guy was amazing. Walter Payton, another great running back. All out of that same era, the Tony Dorsett, Earl Campbell, they all sort of came from that late 70s era. You know, and of course, Franco Harris Franco was kind of on the downside in those days. But Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett, Walter Payton, these were guys that were sort of, huh? Billy Sims. Remember Billy Sims? He was great at Oklahoma. He got to the Detroit Lions, and well, there you go. Look at that, but a Barry Sanders gets to the Detroit Lions. It's like, can you imagine being Barry Sanders? I can't even stand the stench of this place anymore. I'm gone. All those years he gave to the Lions, I can't stand the smell of this place anymore. I am going to retire rather than play one more day with you people. The great Barry Sanders. Billy Sims was another great example of that. And then, of course, Eric Dickerson. And Eric was a little bit younger. 83, I think, was his rookie year. They were great to watch. And it was a tough thing to hear that Walter Payton had passed on. And, all of the best to a great ball player. But I was thinking about the greatest running back. Who's the greatest running back that you ever saw? The greatest running back, seriously, that I ever saw was Eric Dickerson. Only because I went to so many of those games and I actually saw this guy you know, and O.J. Simpson. Let's forget about whether or not he killed anybody. Let's talk about what a hell of a ball player he was, huh? Well, that pales in comparison, Mr. Henry. I understand that. But you know what? I don't get out much, okay? I don't watch much more than Fox, NFL on Fox and CBS. If you're telling me to watch CNN, I just don't get around to that, okay? You're telling me he killed somebody? Well, whatever. But he's a hell of a running back. Jim Brown. Franco Harris. And those little white boys that the Raiders had, Mark Van Egan and Marv Hubbard. Who's the last white guy to I did this when I was in Miami. Who's the last white guy to win a rushing title in the National Football Conference? Do you know? Nope. It wasn't John Riggins. In the NFC, the last white boy to win a rushing title in the National Football Conference. To win it. Be number one. Most yards in the season. You won't even know who the hell he was. A guy by the name of Jim Otis with the St. Louis Cardinals. You remember Jim Otis? Now, who's the last white boy to lead the AFC in rushing? No, it wasn't John Riggins. He played, like, what, 2 years with the Jets? It was Marv Hubbard with the Raiders. And ever since then, there ain't been a white running back worth a damn. Although now we're getting a couple. That guy all start with Tampa Bay. I was going to say touchdown Tommy Vardell, but I won't. Who's that guy? Who's the guy with the Cowboys? Who's that big fullback with the... Johnston. Daryl Johnston. He ain't playing anymore? Moose. So every now and again, there's a guy that, you know, that raises his ugly little white face, and you know, he can really kick it into high gear. But it's... They're few and far between. In any event, who cares about them? We're talking about Walter Payton. I saw Walter Payton play a game down here at Anaheim. Turned it up in the middle of the field. It was an amazing thing because as soon as he got past the linebackers, it was forget it, baby. That was it, okay? If he could just pop the hole there. I mean, a lot of guys, you give them a hole and they run out of gas about 10 yards down the field. But Payton, as soon as he got by the running backs, as soon as he got by the linebackers, I should say, he only had a couple of safeties and corner. He could beat a safety and a cornerback any day of the week. And he was gone. Now, I don't know what it was that he had. Was it liver cancer? And they were talking about, well, there just wasn't, you know, they don't have the donors, man. And the same thing went down with Mickey Mantle. There was some kind of a controversy when Mickey Mantle got sick as to whether or not he was going to get a liver. And they said, you know what? Sorry, but there's a few people ahead of you, Mickey Mantle or Walter Payton or not. Mickey got a liver? Where'd he find that? What are you talking about? He went to Vaughn's. Then he died after. What they did is they gave Mickey a liver, but it was a bad liver. Well, all right, we've got one, but I don't know. It's rough. It's a rough thing. But people are walking around, they say, well, he died so young, 45. Hell, Lou Gehrig was 39. I mean, it's just... Lou Gehrig was 30 freaking 9 when he went out. So that's a bad thing. Is that the... And who was the other guy last week? Payne Stewart. And all those guys that were wearing knickers? They all had knickers, and they all had... You know what? There's a reason why Payne Stewart wore knickers and wore that Thomas Shanner, because he looked good doing it, okay? The rest of them... You imagine, was Trevino in it? No, that was a senior thing. If you imagine Lee Trevino wearing knickers and a Tam O'Shanter, Chi-Chi would look good in knickers and a Tam O'Shanter, even though he shouldn't technically look good. He would look fantastic, but Lee, forget it. But the guy that I'd love to see that wearing that is Nicholas. John Daly wearing knickers and a Tam O'Shanter. Oh, Tiger Woods. Who was the bear? The big fat guy. The big fat older guy? The walrus was Craig Stout. There's a guy that would look good in knickers and a Tam O'Shanter. Craig, I can't keep my pants up, Stadler. Craig, no-ass Stadler with the pants going down the rear end. 1-800. Craig Stadler is the only professional golfer in the history of the game who, when he bent over a putt, just looked like a guy who was plumbing your house, right? Just a little bit of that ass crack going. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. I don't know what it is we're talking about, but here's Salt Lake City. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
I'd like to make a comment. As you might well imagine, you elicited an opinion. You started to talk about the greatest running back of all time.
We lost Walter Payton today, so yeah, I sort of was I was reminded of his Chicago Bear forebear.
No doubt about it. His endurance was the best of all, and obviously had skill to go with it. But beyond a shadow of a doubt, in my opinion, the greatest running back was Gale Sayers.
Now, did you see him play?
Huh?
Did you see him play?
Oh yes.
Did you?
This man had the ability to move laterally after running full speed straight ahead. He could move laterally on a dime and never lose speed. And you already quoted the five touchdowns. What you didn't indicate was that was done in the mud.
Was that against was that in Chicago?
Yeah, yes, it was. And it was the mud, snow, and yet he still was able to make all those movements in that kind of turf.
Now, what happened to Gale Sayers' leg? Was it a knee? I think it was a knee.
It was multiple knee injuries, not just one. He had the knee operated on, as I recall, five times.
Hmm.
And it cut his career short, of course. We'll never, ever really know of the total greatness that I think he had. But in terms of skill, the absolute rock-bottom skill, I don't know of a running back greater than Gale Sayers.
Because he was a kick returner. He was a punt returner, as well as a running back. I mean, some of those, when I mentioned that five-touchdown day he had, I think a couple of them were kickoff returns.
I believe that's correct.
And this is back, by the way, folks, before there was such a thing as arthroscopic surgery. So when they were cutting into your knee, man, they were cutting into your knee. They were taking a big hunk out of your knee every time they went in there. Was he the guy that said, that's that big, quote, give me 18 inches of daylight?
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
I think it was 18 inches of something. What are you talking about, Schaefer? Give me 18 inches. Shut up. So it was Gale Sayers who said that, huh? But yeah, when they would cut into your knee, and that's Joe Namath back in those days. He had knees like patchwork knees.
Oh, yeah. But well, of course, he ran like it, too, though.
Who, Namath? Couldn't run.
I said he ran like he had his knees operated
right. Okay, pal.
All right.
Well, thanks very much for that little slice of history.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye. There's a guy that actually saw. Yeah, I was talking about Gale Sayers, how great he was. All I've ever seen are those NFL films, which, of course, I watch religiously with Deacon Jones saying, Gale Sayers used to say 18 inches of daylight. All I needed was a blink of the old eye. Blink of the old eye. Because he used to do the head slap. He'd slap a guy till he blinked his eyes, and then he'd be, and I'd be right by with a blink of the old eye. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show here tonight. Also, there was the great stylings, the great running stylings of Don Nottingham. I'm just kidding. You guys don't know who I'm talking about. They called him the human bowling ball. Don Nottingham was a little round white man who played for the Colts. And wait a second. Shula actually brought him down to Miami, played for the Dolphins for a while. He was about 5'5", and he weighed about 250. He was a perfect ball. They called him the human bowling ball, and he just popped right through the line. Do you remember when he used to give the ball to the refrigerator Perry? Why'd they stop doing that? Don't you think a guy that weighs 300 pounds is unstoppable? They give that one. Of course, they line him up in the backfield. I guess everybody's keying on him. But he's just, you're seriously? I mean, the guy's going to go around that. A guy that big, you figure, is unstoppable. I remember when it was a Monday night game, Bears and Packers, as a matter of fact. They gave Perry the ball on a goal line play. And I don't know who the middle linebacker was for the Packers. Toughest guy I've ever seen in my life because he hit Perry head on. Now, I'm not saying he stopped him. I'm not saying that he stopped him. He didn't stop him. Perry went in for the touchdown. They opened up a little bit of a hole. Perry barreled in there. But this linebacker for the Packers hit him head on, helmet for helmet. And Perry rolled over this guy. You're talking about a linebacker about 220. Perry's about three bills. And this guy got up. He was pulling big clods of turf out of his mask. This guy got up. He didn't stay down for very long. He got up, but he's pulling huge clods of turf out of his mask, big clods of turf out of his mouth, pulling them out of his pants and everything. Perry buried this guy, but he got right up. He walked over to the sideline, passed out. Walked up, walked over to the sideline. They put him on one of them neck boards. I'm fine. Who? Dan Reeves? Great white running backs. We got the name Dan. Well, what about Walt Garrison, if you want to get into that territory? Did you ever hear what Landry said about Walt Garrison? If you needed 3 yards, he'd get you 3 yards. If you needed 10 yards, he'd get you 3 yards. Walt Garrison, just a pinch between his cheek and something. I forget what it was. Something about 18 inches of something and a pinch between his cheek and gum. Walt Garrison, cowboy extraordinaire. You know, Reeves, I saw that guy play, although I can't really remember. I saw Ditka play, but I can't remember that either. I'm so old. But then the Rams had a couple of guys, Les Josephson, the ghost, and they had another guy, I forget what his name was, Larry Smith. Larry Smith. But in any event, these guys, you know, they all kind of were cut from the same mold, but along comes this guy like Walter Payton, Dickerson, the real special guys, you know, they're beautiful. Who's the guy that's running it up, man? Of course, the guy from Denver, Terrell Davis. Over 2,000 yards. What's he doing this year? I'll tell you what he's doing this year. He's sitting. He's got on street clothes. He's watching TV. That's what he's doing. He's giving that thumb a workout. God. Bummer. And they went ahead and won yesterday, didn't they? Who'd they beat? Minnesota? Nice going, Denny Green. No, Denver beat Minnesota yesterday. Yeah, they beat Minnesota. That's a wonderful Super Bowl contender you got up there in the Twin Cities there, Denny. Minnesota did not win. They did? Well, I guess, what newspaper are you reading? I got to quit reading those L.A. papers. You watch the ball game. Okay, thanks, Mike. I read the L.A. Times, but you went ahead and watched the game. Salt Lake City on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Good, how are you, sir?
Good. Hey, do you remember, though, that fat bastard, the fridge, stole Walter's Super Bowl touchdown? He didn't get a touchdown in that Super Bowl.
What, you mean the fridge was the guy that took it in?
Yeah, the fridge did. They gave it to the fridge because, you know, old Dick playing to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, back before they had all the couth of...
That was back when...
Grabbing his crotch and flipping the crowd off.
Who, Ditka?
He decided instead of giving it to the greatest running back that I ever saw, to let him get his touchdown, he gave it to that fat pig and let him pound it in there. You know, that guy just sitting down there sucking on hot dogs all day waiting for the coach to put him in. The guy didn't do anything. He didn't make a tackle. Then what about that one time that the fridge tried to push Walter into the end zone? Do you remember that move?
Oh, yeah, that's illegal.
And he can't do that. And he's looking around like, what?
Yeah, I know. And where is he now, man? The refrigerator had, like, what, three really good seasons, and then he beat up Bob Costas, and that's it.
He wouldn't. He waited. He couldn't play that much, man.
No.
You know, you can't. That was back in the Dexter Bamley times. You know, you just were fat. You couldn't read.
I got you, pal. I got you.
Спасибо, что вы выбрали компанию Phil Henry Air. Наш полет будет проходить на высоте 300 тысяч фит. И еще Валька.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So what are we doing here? We're looking for the best white running back in history, and we got to go back 30 years to find him. I noticed some guy was hanging on. He hung up. Keith Lincoln. What were they wearing, leather helmets? Keith Lincoln. Anybody remember him? San Diego Chargers, baby. Went to Monrovia High. The guy had a 350-yard game against the Boston Patriots in an AFL title game. Yeah. The problem is he was playing against nothing but other white guys. I don't think they had no black guys in the AFL back then. Yes, they did. They had Elbert Golden Wheels Dominion. What am I talking about? Keith Lincoln ran and caught, I think, about 350 total yards that day. I think he ran for like 250, had 100 yards receiving. Here's Portland on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Okay, let's go with Larry Zonka, the best white running back.
You get two votes here, although I like Riggins.
Yeah, Riggins, but Larry Zonka was a killer. Minnesota won yesterday.
They did?
Here's something that's very ironic. Yesterday, the Bears lost to Washington. Walter Payton's last game was a loss to Washington.
Really?
Yeah, in the playoffs.
When's the last time Walter played? When did he retire?
He retired, I think, 87. In the playoffs to the Washington Redskins in Chicago. And he ran the ball on the last offensive play. He came up short. I think it was 4th-and-7 or something, 4th-and-8, and he came up about 2 or 3 yards short.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's your synchronicity there, sir.
Yeah, and I got a Walter Payton's rookie card signed. I don't know how much it's worth, how many it's going around.
You've got it signed? You've got an autographed Walter Payton?
Autographed Walter Payton's rookie card.
I don't know anything about that stuff. It sounds pretty good to me. I know that those cards are supposed to be in mint condition, but if you got one that's signed, it can't be in mint condition. You had to unwrap it.
And it's a rookie. Yeah, definitely. And I put it up.
When did he sign it?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if it's a real signature, but it was given to me from another football player because I'm a huge Bear fan. They call me Bear the Bear. That's one of the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's real, but it looks real. The rookie card is real, but the signature, I'd have to, you know, get that confirmed. But, it's there, and it's not personalized either.
Oh, so you got it from somebody else. I wonder if he'd signed it when he was a rookie. That would be very cool.
Yeah, because this guy was into the football, and he said, you know, I know you're a big Bear fan. I'm going to give you this card, and I kept it. I put it up a long time ago.
You're a big Bears fan from when, though, man?
I was born in Chicago in the 54. I've been a Bears fan since, let's say, 60.
Oh, boy, did you have some bad luck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went through all the heartaches. I went through the Packers beating us to death, even when we had Gale Sayers.
You mean when you had Jack Concannon as a quarterback?
Yeah, I went through all that.
When you had Bobby Douglas as a quarterback?
Yeah, I went through all that. I'm still crying today because we're getting a little bit better, but we're not quite where we were in the 80s.
Well, you know what? Goodbye, Walter. Good night, sweetness.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing to watch him run the football. Thank you very much.
You're in
Portland. So what's up with that, man? I thought maybe you'd be a Seahawk fan.
Nah.
Forget it.
Bear, baby.
They're winning tonight.
Who, Seahawks?
Oh, God, they're killing Green Bay.
Yeah, well, that's good because I'm a Bear and we're chasing the Packers. We play them next week. We're going to do the same thing.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for calling. See you later. Bye. Did Joe Dickhead blows another one? He called that he thought for sure Green Bay would win at home tonight. And the Vikings won. Who'd they beat?
Denver.
I thought Denver was beating them halfway through that game. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, huh? Denver was beating them. Okay, that's what I get for, you know what happens at my house? I try to sit down and watch a stinking football game, and the next thing I know, oh, we got to go out and we got to do this, we got to go out and do that. I told my wife when the season started, Sunday is going to be my day. Yes, honey. And it just hasn't worked out that way. Not because it's just me. I feel obligated. I feel like I got to get up and do something. I feel like I have to watch the Monster Festival on AMC or some crap. I don't know what. Buy more candy. Like, we didn't have enough. Now, one kid came by our house last night, and we have about $73,000 worth of Snickers in my kitchen right now. Did not one kid come by. We have got $250,000 worth of now and laters. So Dickhead's pick was Denver will be winning at some point during the game. That was his pick. Okay. All right, Joe. Joe Dickhead. His big pick. Denver at some point will be winning the game. And then I liked his other pick. I love Indianapolis against Dallas, and I think they're going to be dominating, except at the end, Dallas will come back and beat them. That's what you get, Joe, for living with the professor high above the strip. The professor. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So that guy's big pick there for the greatest white running back in history, Joe Zonka. I mean, Larry Zonka. There had to be a guy named Joe Zonka. Larry Zonka. And then, of course, we came up with John Riggins. And then I got my man Schaefer in there saying Jim Taylor. And maybe. But let's, like I say, keep it as contemporary as we possibly can. Of course, if we keep it contemporary, then we're limited to guys like Touchdown Tommy Vardell. Who? Rocky Blyer, yeah.
Vietnam veteran Rocky Blyer.
God almighty, every time Rocky touched the ball, there's Frank Gifford. There's Rocky Blyer, a Vietnam veteran. Yeah, we got it already. He's a Vietnam veteran. Had his foot blown off in Vietnam, but a hell of a ball player. Rocky Blyer. Oh, is he calling in? Hey, Joe. Joe.
Phil, this is Joe Dickhead here, high above the strip.
Your picks suck.
I make no apologies for my picks. I had that Indianapolis game. I had that Denver game.
You had it and you lost it, okay? They suck, man. You were calling Denver the big winner in that ball game. And
I said that Denver would be leading at least part of the way in that ball game. I also said I loved Indianapolis in that football game there in the RCA Dome.
Yeah, you loved them, but you didn't pick them. You love them, but you don't pick them. That's the problem, okay, Joe? So make the picks. There, I hung up on Joe Dickhead. So who else you got? You got Rocky Blyer. Rocky Blyer wasn't even a good running back. The only reason why anybody liked Rocky Blyer is because he was on that great Steelers team, and he had Franco Harris that he was running behind. He'd give, you know, it was just so that Franco Harris could hit the sideline and take an extra blow, if you know what I mean. Franco could go, get a blow, come back out. Rocky'd limp off with his bad foot from Vietnam. And that would be the end of that. Now, I'm trying to think. You go team by team. The Chargers, let's see, the Raiders. Marv Hubbard is thinking of that. And then there's the Broncos. They have some white boy running. I forget. The Chicago Bears. Jim Otis. New Orleans have some white guy running for him. Well, how about this guy? I met him down in Miami. He's a very nice guy. In fact, he's pretty good in his day. Jim Kick. Jim Kick and Larry Zonka together, they played ball. Then in New York, they had Riggins up in New York for a while. I don't know. It's kind of like asking, who's the greatest white center to ever play in the NBA? Well, what? You're already starting at a handicap. First of all, you got to find a white center to play ball in the NBA that was good. Don't you be saying that Ostertag, or I'm going to come over there. Don't you even be mentioning that name. Rambis didn't play center. The white guy from Portland? He's an announcer now? Oh, Bill Walton. Yeah. Yeah, Bill Walton. He is pretty good. Same problem with Bill Walton, though. George who? Murison? Yeah, right. But when you're looking for those guys, it's tough. Sean Bradley's pretty good. Yeah. You're pretty good. Anyway, so we're looking for guys like that. It's I don't know. It's an exercise in futility, okay? Is that all we can come up with the white running backs? That's it? Okay, well, let's stick to talking about Walter Payton then, okay? The hell do I got to bring it over? I'm talking about Walter Payton. The next thing you know, I got to sit here and start finding good white running backs. Forget it. It ain't gonna happen. You got to find a good white safety quicker than you find a good white running back. More and more good white boys playing defense, though, I notice in the NFL. There's more and more white guys that are actually, they got those linebackers up there for the Patriots that are pretty good, and they're white. So don't you be worrying about it, Grandma. Gary Fensick. Van McElroy. Guys like that. So anyway, who's the guy? Lambert? Jack Lambert? He was a linebacker. So anyway, as I was saying, we got about Seahorn. That's the guy. Jason Seahorn, yeah. What's that ad with him and Terrell Davis? They're giving each other crap. Oh, Shannon Sharp, they're giving each other crap about who do you invest with, Smith Barney or the other thing? I don't know. So anyway, like I said, we didn't have one kid come by the house last night for trick-or-treat. Not one. Not a one! I would have walked that. If I would have seen my house silly stringed, I would have just praised Jesus. Anything. At least we got a little action last year when the kids came and they took the whole bowl of candy. At least I knew that somebody was there. We left a note this year because we had to take the kids out and get them trick-or-treated and bring them on back. And we left a note on the door that said, we'll be right back with lots of candy, so don't go away. Something like that. We came back. I thought for sure somebody'd write something like, screw you, or, you know, your mom. And it was nothing. The note was there. Nothing had been vandalized. The door hadn't been kicked in. Nothing. And we took the kids around last night, man. There were hardly any. I don't know what's going. Halloween's dead, I guess. I guess that's the thing. They're all going to these parties now, these church-sponsored parties, which are fine. But, I mean, there ain't nothing like a kid going up and down the street. Just the risk of a little violence. I'm kidding. They have a big thing at the Boo at the L.A. Zoo. What was that? And do they have the Not Scary Farm? They have that stuff. Then I saw a flyer where the kids were invited to some church party, and it said, and be sure to wear your positive attitude costumes. And I'm, well, okay, that lets these guys out. There ain't a chance. And you talk about lazy, man. The three guys this year, now Nick at least went out and he got himself a mask, okay? I'll give him that much. Alex is wearing he's got a Nintendo 64 T-shirt and some cheesy rubber mask that he found in a bag. And Chris went as a vampire. You know what that means? He just wore a cape, which was a dish towel. He wore a black cape, which was some kind of an old dish towel or some kind of an old, you know, like a tablecloth. He just draped it around his shoulders. That's a vampire. So Alexander's there with a cheesy rub. Who are you? I'm the Unabomber. Oh, okay. And you look exactly the way you do when you go to school in the morning. Thank you. You're welcome. So these guys, I'm driving them around, and one of them says, man, you should have seen it last year. I said, what happened? We go up to this guy's driveway. He's cooking hot dogs and giving out Cokes. I go, you're kidding me, man. He says, no, man, it was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. We're trick-or-treating last year, and we go up, and there's a guy in his driveway grilling dogs. He says, it was bitching. We got some Cokes and stuff. I said, so he grilled? Yeah, he grilled us up a dog. We had, like, you know, onions and relish and mustard. These guys are eating hot dogs. And the guy says, how come you're not giving out candy, mister? Dude, hot dogs are cheaper than candy. This guy's whole reasoning was, screw that, man. I can go out and get myself some Hebrew National, save money, and it's real. It's kind of a weird thing. It's a little wiggy, and these kids are coming up and they're eating dogs on Halloween. Why not? I'm doing it next year. I'm dragging that old piece of crap kettle barbecue that I got out to the driveway, and I'm going to start grilling up hot dogs. Guess what? Ain't no kids coming down our street, man, but all the neighbors will come out. All those old people who live up the end of my street, man, and never go out to do anything, they'll come down and get the, could I have another of the bratwurst? Okay, go ahead. You can, yeah, that's fine. You can eat it sideways as long as you have to gum it. That's no problem. You get sideways gumming it. Come on down and gum yourself a dog. Okay, what are you doing? Why are you eating that thing sideways? You're supposed to stick it in straight. I can't. What are you doing? Gumming that freaking thing. It's getting all over you. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So some guy just called and said, John Cappelletti. Now, there's a hell of a white running back. You know, just because the guy was walking around upright. Look it, man. We're looking for guys that are good, not some cat that, you know, I know he won the Heisman in college, but what have you done for me lately in the pros, I guess is what we're talking about. John Cappelletti. Good guy, I'm sure. A lady called like 2 weeks ago. Remember the lady that called in who knew John Cappelletti and hangs out with him or whatever, and he's a sweet man, a very, very nice, I'm sure he's very good. But he played for like a drink of water in the NFL. That was the end of that. How about Ed Marinara, if you want to go down that route? Ed Marinara sauce. Who, the dude for New England, the white boy? Not Mosey Tatupu. That don't qualify. I played with the white guy in New England. The best running back the Patriots ever had was a guy named Jim Nance. He was black. Oh, Gino Cappelletti. There was a Gino Cappelletti. Gino Cappelletti kicked. No, he was a wide receiver. He was not a running back. But Ed Marinaro, remember him? Did he play for Cornell, and wasn't he a Heisman Trophy winner? Boy, that must have been thin that year. Wow, you're giving it to a cat from Cornell. And then he went on to what TV show? Come on, what TV show? Ed Marinaro. Hill Street Blues, right. Okay, Charlotte on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, ma'am. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good.
Good. I wanted to comment.
So what do you think about Ed Marinaro?
I'm sorry?
You don't know, do you? Who cares, right? Yeah, all right.
This is totally off the subject
That's
of what
cool.
you were just speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
You were just talking about Halloween trick-or-treating, et cetera.
I was talking about the kids, man. There were no kids at my house, and there was no houses.
Right.
Yeah, there were hardly any kids in the street.
Not even 10, 15 years ago, you know, you could go door-to-door. I mean, kids would be all over the roads. You couldn't even drive because that's all you saw. And you know, now you're lucky if you get one trick-or-treater.
You know what's funny? Now, I don't remember because I don't come down Normandy. Where I work is right near downtown Los Angeles, where our studio is, okay?
Right.
And this is a very working-class neighborhood around here. There's a lot of Central American people that live here, a lot of folks from South America, and they're working-class neighborhood, all right? And immigrants is what I'm trying to say. Now, right out here in the neighborhoods of the suburbs, you don't find any kids, man. I drive down Normandy on Halloween night. It's packed. With trick-or-treaters.
Yeah.
Kids are going down, up and down the street. So maybe it's a trip where the new arrivals, the people who are newer to this country, are really into it because they've heard so much about it and they want to do it.
Uh-huh.
And we're, the rest of us are kind of sitting on our rear ends going, well, whatever, let's have it, you know what, if there's no kids coming around, about 8 o'clock we'll start eating the stuff.
Right, it's just also that you think, because it's a great pastime that you think, I had so much fun as a child, I got to do this and this and this,
right.
I got to go door to door, and
right.
then, like I was, I have two children, and they won't be able to experience that, because I'm
shy. Why not?
Well, I mean, like you were saying, it's nothing but church bazaars that we go to now.
With the positive attitude costumes?
No one goes, you know, in the neighborhoods anymore.
What's the story with that?
And I'm sure when they grow up and have children, it'll be even completely different than what it is now.
I told a story last year because we got to go out of our neighborhood to trick-or-treat because there's like maybe older folks that around where we live, right? And so we've got two little ones. The smallest one is 8 and 10. Last year they were 9 and 7. So I said, come on, let's go down the street here. Well, one woman almost had a heart attack. The kids rang the doorbell, and she's, oh, you know, she's grabbing her chest. I said, what's the problem? She says, I haven't had trick-or-treaters here in 10 years because there's no kids.
Right.
When we moved in, they were the first kids on the block in years in this neighborhood, to the point where the woman forgot it was Halloween. There's no kids around to remind you, right?
Right.
So what we got to do is just start an en masse invade and start this thing all over again. Otherwise, I'm getting the sugar, man. You know what? How many Milky Ways I ate for breakfast this morning? All right, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Better luck next year, I guess. So, yeah, there's a whole, look at this. I got Crozier still trying to figure out that white running back for the Patriots. He played for the Pats in 86 for the Super Bowl team. He's now in a, Craig James. Craig James, yeah. Craig James was part of a thing called the Pony Express at SMU. You know who the other running back was? Eric Dickerson. They were the Pony Express. Craig James, yeah, he wasn't too good. Now, anyway, he was all right, I guess. He was good in college. Yeah, there was another guy that used to be on NBC, a little white bowling ball running back for the Chiefs named Mike Adamley. Do you remember him on NBC? Mike Adamley. I think he might still be on that HBO show with Len Dawson. But he was a little weird white guy. Next year for Halloween, let's go as white running backs. What do you think? 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. So that means there's going to be a whole bunch of crap, sugar shock, man, for the next month at our place. Who cares? Whatever. It's fine. If you don't have kids, you don't even know, man. You've got kids running around a house. They're going nuts. They're going ape. They want to go out. They want to get the candy. They want to do the do. They want to do that and the funky chicken, too. And you got to make sure there's a place for them to go to. Positive attitude costumes. It ain't going to happen. So, yeah, and you know what? You're walking with them, man. You got to be walking with them. You got to be following them around, make sure everything's okay. When they get to be about 13, I guess they can go with their friends. I told these guys, no silly string. And if you start picking up pumpkins and try to smash them in the street, well, you know what the kind. Some of these homeowners now are so freaking paranoid. These guys are running out of the house with 10-gauge shotguns. They see some kid picking up a pumpkin, they figure the guy's trying to steal her car. I said, you guys, this ain't even worth it, man. And last year, these guys were the couple of knuckleheads that they are. They picked up a pumpkin. They were going to smash it in the street. It was plastic. Alex picks this thing up. Here's one. Nobody can see me. He goes to throw this pumpkin. It bounces 1,500 feet in the air. Boing! Nice going, man. If you got to bust up a pumpkin, make sure it's a real one. So they got the word real quick. Yeah, because really, I mean, you can't go and you steal a guy's pumpkin. This guy thinks you're trying to key his Porsche. I mean, give me just a tiny bit of a break on this one. Okay, pal, it's your pumpkin. Now, if you're living in a neighborhood where there's a lot of, like, teenage kids and older kids, like adolescents, they're going to be smashing up your pumpkin. So put it under lock and key or something. I don't know what to tell you. I realize it's a tough world. Hey, listen, Jay Santos is coming up next hour. Jay is going to be talking about Y2K preparedness. Jay is with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They work out of the South Bay here in Los Angeles. For you guys listening to us across the country, it's all the same problem. Y2K and what's going on with that. Jay Santos coming up next hour here on The Phil Henry Show. I'd also like to mention that we have an official website for our show. It's called philhenryshow.com. Now, I don't know when it's going to be completely redesigned and up and running and everything else. It's undergoing a major redesign as we speak. So check it out, philhenryshow.com. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.